This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
A legendary entertainer is criminally charged. Good morning, I am Bruce Johnson, in for Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It's Thursday, December 31st, New Year's Eve, and here's what we have for you this hour.
After years of allegations by a number of women, Bill Cosby has been charged with sexual assault. The charge stems from an alleged incident in his suburban Philadelphia home.
A grand jury in California has indicted Enrique Marquez of conspiring with one of the people who triggered the San Bernardino massacre. If convicted on all counts, Marquez could get 50 years in prison.
The Wall Street Journal reporting that the Clinton Foundation continued to take money from companies and foreign governments while Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State.
And Republicans evidently coming up short for the chase of diverse voters in the upcoming presidential election.
Notwithstanding the losses among Hispanics and the lack of gains with blacks and other minorities, the core of the party, the white vote of 55, for example, aren't being replaced by the next generation.
That is Reuters editor Maurice Tammen, who will have more in about 10 minutes. Comic legend Bill Cosby, pursued for decades by allegations of sexual misconduct, has been charged with sexual assault in his native Philadelphia. It's a case that many people, including women who had come forward publicly, long thought prosecutors would never bring. Los Angeles attorney Gloria Allred represents 29 of the accusers.
For many of my 29 clients who allege that they are victims of Bill Cosby, seeing him criminally charged and having to face a trial is the best Christmas present that they have ever received.
The felony charges of indecent assault stem from a woman's accusation that Cosby drugged and sexually abused her at his home in a Philadelphia suburb in 2004. Montgomery County District Attorney-elect Kevin Steele says the probe involved a relationship between the comedian and the woman, Andrea Constand, that came about from her work with the basketball team at Temple University, Cosby's alma mater in Philadelphia. Steele says Cosby became a mentor and friend to Constand, and in early 2004, she went to his home. According to the accusations, the entertainer urged her to take pills and drink wine until she was unable to move, after which he assaulted her. The criminal charges follow a year of tumult for the 78-year-old Cosby, as dozens of women have accused him of sexually assaulting them. A federal grand jury in California has indicted the friend of a gunman who, along with his wife, opened fire on a crowd at a San Bernardino conference center earlier this month, killing 14 people. 24-year-old Enrique Marquez is charged on five counts, including conspiring with Syed Farouk to plan terror attacks in 2011 and 2012, years before Farouk and his wife, Tashfeen Malik, committed the massacre. Both were killed in a subsequent shootout with police. Prosecutors say there is no evidence Marquez knew about the San Bernardino attack, but he is accused of buying two of the guns that were used in the rampage. According to an affidavit accompanying the charges, Marquez allegedly planned with Farouk in 2011 to carry out a pipe bomb and shooting attack at Riverside College in California, where both were students, and another attack from a California freeway. The attacks were never carried out. Now, Marquez at one time worked at Morgan's Tavern in Riverside, and his boss was the owner, Jerry Morgan, who says, "You never know."
That's what makes him so spooky, is because he's just a normal, everyday Joe Blow that you don't give the time of day to. And the next thing you know, you got CNN asking you what the hell happened.
Marquez is being held without bail. If convicted on all counts, he could get 50 years in prison. It is now 10 minutes after the hour. At Hillary Clinton's confirmation hearing for Secretary of State, she promised she would take, quote, extraordinary steps to avoid even the appearance of a conflict of interest, end quote. However, the Wall Street Journal is now reporting that later on, more than two dozen companies and groups and one foreign government paid former President Bill Clinton a total of more than $8 million to give speeches around the time they also had matters before Mrs. Clinton's State Department. 15 of them also donated a total of between $5 million and $15 million to the Bill, Hillary, and Chelsea Clinton Foundation, the family's charity, that according to foundation disclosures. Now, in several instances, State Department actions benefited those that paid Mr. Clinton. The journal found no evidence that speaking fees were paid to the former president in exchange for any action by Mrs. Clinton, now the frontrunner for the Democratic presidential nomination. Mrs. Clinton has come under fire from Republicans and even some Democrats for potential conflicts of interest between her family's work at the foundation and her duties as Secretary of State between 2009 and 2013. Her husband's high-profile activities pose a unique challenge for Mrs. Clinton as she runs for president and he prepares to step up his role in her campaign. It is now 12 minutes after the hour on this morning, America's First News. Gordon is off for New Year's Eve. Hopefully he and his family and all of you out there will have a very pleasant and safe New Year's Eve. Well, less than a year before the U.S. elects a new president, the Republican Party has yet to resolve a problem that its leaders say contributed to Mitt Romney's 2012 defeat to Barack Obama, namely a lack of support among Hispanic and younger voters. That's spelled out in an analysis of Reuters Ipsos polling data from 2012 and 2015. Reuters editor Maurice Tammen joins us now. He's broken down the numbers. Maurice, drill down on the data for us.
Yeah, actually, it's more the problem is actually getting worse for the Republican Party, I think. There's been a really quite remarkable shift among white young voters in particular, those under 40 and especially those under 30. Away from the Republican Party, and when you compare that to 2012, they had a slight majority of the white voters under 40. So notwithstanding the losses among Hispanics and the lack of gains with blacks and other minorities, the core of the party, the whites over 55, for example, aren't being replaced by the next generation.
We are talking to Maurice Tammen of Reuters. Maurice, you have obtained these numbers from an analysis of Reuters Ipsos polling. Talk more about that. What do the numbers point out when you drill down deeper?
You know, elections are largely turnout wars, you have to make sure that your party faithful show up at the polls. And when you look at these numbers, and the identification with the Republican Party is down pretty dramatically. And as you go down and look at the various constituent parts of that, you see that Hispanics, Asians, blacks, almost every group that you divide up that now constitute pretty large voting blocks of this country do not seem to be finding a home with the Republican Party. And this goes back beyond the beginning of the primary season. This is an analysis of the numbers going back to the beginning of the year. We looked at the responses to the question of which party you identify with over the course of the entire year, and those numbers really haven't shifted very much. They just show that the Republican Party has failed to attract people outside of their core.
So with those numbers as a backdrop, of course, we have Donald Trump, the leader in many polls on the Republican side. And, of course, it's well documented that Trump would like to close the borders to Mexico and all the rhetoric that has come with that. So with that said, how do the numbers you have affect Trump as he moves forward?
Well, I mean, I think this is a question that the hierarchy of the Republican Party has to ask themselves. Is the rhetoric as we move through the primaries helping or hurting the cause? Let's not forget the primary voters are very different than Republican primary voters are very different than those who will show up in November. And you have that core that what some people call the bread and butter of the Republican Party, the aging baby boomers who are increasingly Republicans, those are the people who are going to show up at the polls in the primary. those are the people who are going to choose who's going to be the standard bearer for the party. Now, the question is, are those voters sufficiently in line with the thinking of the American public in general? And given the identification numbers that we can see in the polling, I think that's a question that the leadership of the party has to be asking itself at this time.
Maurice, thanks. That is Reuters editor Maurice Tammet. It is now 19 minutes after the hour, and time once again to bring on Jennifer Koschenka, who has more of America's First News. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning, Bruce. Security is being stepped up in major European cities ahead of New Year's celebrations, with officials wary of possible terror plots. New Year's fireworks and festivities have been canceled in Brussels because of an alert, while extra measures are in place in Paris, London, Berlin, and Moscow. In Turkey, security services say they have thwarted a major plot to attack celebrations in Ankara. Nine levees in the St. Louis area have already been topped by water, and another dozen are considered at risk. Don Smith is the mayor of Rockaway Beach, Missouri.
It is just incredibly overwhelming. At this point, I'm just so worried about the people in our community. I just don't want them to lose hope. But we are just in a desperate struggle to survive at this point.
At least 20 deaths in Missouri and Illinois have been blamed on flooding. 21 passengers were injured when an Air Canada flight en route from Shanghai to Toronto hit heavy turbulence yesterday. The flight was diverted to Calgary, where injured passengers were transported to area hospitals with non-life-threatening injuries. The plane was carrying 332 passengers. The Obama administration is preparing to impose its first financial sanctions on Iran since it forged a landmark nuclear agreement in July. Today's Wall Street Journal says the planned action by the Treasury Department is directed at nearly a dozen companies and individuals in Iran, Hong Kong, and the United Arab Emirates for their alleged role in developing Iran's ballistic missile program. It's not only been unusually warm in the Midwest and East this month, it's ridiculously warm in the North Pole. Temperatures are above freezing, which is 50 degrees above normal. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says the Arctic is warming twice as fast as other parts of the planet. Can dogs be kind? A new study says yes, they can. Researchers in Vienna found that dogs will share with other dogs, but only if they know them. Dogs were given the ability to pull a bar that would move either an empty tray or a tray with treats. Each dog decided whether to give treats to another dog, and in situations where the dog pulling the tray knew the other dog, the dog was more likely to give its pal some treats.
Now that we know dogs can be kind, where do we go from here?
I don't know. This is earth-shattering news this morning.
We do know that heading into the new year. Jennifer, thanks a lot. 22 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to This Morning, America's First News. Although a new survey says three-quarters of Americans are unhappy with the way their government was run this year, Congress did enjoy a more productive year than it has since 2009. The Pew Research Center found lawmakers passed 113 laws in 2015, and some on Capitol Hill attempted to put forward bills that, surprisingly, did not already exist. Lawmakers weren't successful most of the time, but at least they tried. Sarah Westwood is a watchdog reporter for the Washington Examiner. Sarah, what kind of bills are we talking about here?
Things like taking taxpayer money off of travel budgets and spending it on gambling and casinos. That wasn't against the rules before this year, and just a couple of weeks ago, the Senate passed a bill to try to make that illegal, just things that you would hope were already on the books and surprisingly weren't.
All right. Another category you talk about is watching pornography. Talk about that.
Well, this became an issue when an EPA official was caught with thousands of pornographic files stored on his government computer. He was caught watching pornography on his work computer for up to 6 hours a day while being paid by the taxpayers, and yet he didn't get fired for that. And so Congressman Mark Meadows earlier this year put forward a bill to try to make watching pornography on your government computer a fireable offense. And in the statement that accompanied the bill, he sort of said it's kind of ridiculous that this isn't already a law. And that law actually ended up going nowhere in the House this spring. So you wonder how productive Congress really was this year if a law like that, which you would think would have bipartisan support, couldn't even get out of committee.
We are talking to Washington Examiner watchdog reporter Sarah Westwood. Now, here's a topic which is quite familiar in a different way in the news headlines, and that is, of course, a personal email for government work. We all know about the Hillary Clinton situation. Talk about it, though, in this regard, Sarah. What do you mean by using personal email for government work?
Well, you know, obviously Hillary Clinton made this a national debate, but before that, in the IRS investigation that's been going on for a couple of years now, private email use actually prevented investigators from uncovering significant numbers of documents because IRS officials had hidden some of their communications, not just in personal email addresses, but under aliases. And so a bill that the Oversight Committee passed earlier this year would just make it illegal for IRS employees to disseminate official information on a personal email address. And that's a shift you see throughout the federal government. Agencies are cracking down on that kind of behavior.
And the last category you talked about, it is legal to pay for patriotism. Talk about that.
That was a bit of a scandal that broke out this summer when the public learned that the Pentagon was paying professional sports teams to conduct these tributes to the troops. They were paying actually millions of dollars to have these salutes to the troops. And this really incensed a lot of people who thought maybe these sports teams should be doing this for free. Maybe we shouldn't be spending millions of dollars of taxpayer funds to try to promote patriotism through the sports teams.
Thanks, Sarah. Washington Examiner, watchdog reporter Sarah Westwood. It is now 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
You're a small to mid-sized business with 300 to 3,000 employees. You face the same network security challenges as big businesses do, but can't support a big IT investment, leaving your doors open to advanced cyber threats. Barracuda Next Generation Firewalls provide all the core features of enterprise firewalls and UTMs, but without hidden costs and deployment hurdles, making owning a big business firewall no big deal for your SMB. Reclaim your network. Try a Barracuda Next Gen Firewall risk-free at barracuda.com/firewalls.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at compassmedianetworks.com.
It's 34 minutes after the hour. I'm Bruce Johnson in today for Gordon, along with Jennifer Koschenka on Thursday, December 31st. A happy New Year's Eve. Some of our top headlines: legendary comedian actor Bill Cosby charged with sexual assault in a suburb of his native Philadelphia. It's the first time Cosby is facing criminal charges after years of sexual misconduct allegations. A California grand jury has indicted one of the friends of the San Bernardino terrorists who killed 14 people. Enrique Marquez is charged with conspiracy for allegedly buying two of the guns used. And the college football national semifinals take place today and tonight in Miami and Texas. It's Clemson, Oklahoma in the opener, followed by Alabama and Michigan State in the nightcap. We already know that Donald Trump has left his mark on the Republican presidential campaign, leading by large margins in a number of polls. But is Trump good for the GOP U.S. senators up for re-election? Most notably, freshman Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania. Washington Examiner political reporter Al Weaver has written an article about the potential Trump effect. Al, what does it look like?
Well, there's a lot of competing theories here. I mean, the more conventional one is that, you know, Trump would have, you know, a negative effect that normal candidates, you know, such as a Romney or this term around would be a Rubio or Christie or something like that, that it could hurt turnout for a guy like Toomey. I mean, the one thing that's striking between the two of them is that they're they're polar opposites in the way they go about business. I mean, Toomey is very methodical. He's very, you know, boom, boom, boom. He's very by the book. Trump, on the other hand, is very boisterous. He's the opposite of what Toomey is in that sense. Toomey's very, you know, calm, very calm demeanor. So it's a really interesting contrast. And then there's some on the other side that say that Donald Trump could help Toomey and help get out the blue-collar vote and then get the Reagan Democrats bout back again and get more of a turnout for Toomey. So it's an interesting contrast. I'm not sure which theory I'd subscribe to, but I think it's a big story going to this election because it's not just Toomey. It's him. There's Rob Portman. There's Kelly Ayotte in New Hampshire. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Al, as a point of reference, who could Toomey be running against on the Democratic side?
Well, he has two possible challengers, two right now. One's Katie McGinty, the former chief of staff for Tom Wolf, who left right during the whole budget mess. And then his 2010 opponent, Joe Sestak, who he beat by two, but would likely be poised to beat by, you know, a more significant margin this time around. Joe Sestak is more of the retread. He's more of a retread than anything. I mean, he's been running for the Senate seat for 6 years now since he lost. So that's who he'd be going up against. It's a much weaker candidate than he would be going against than the guy like Portman, who's got Ted Strickland in Ohio, or Ron Johnson in Wisconsin, who'd be going against his former Senator Russ Feingold.
We're chatting with Al Weaver, political reporter for the Washington Examiner. Al, when we get back now to the Toomey-Trump issue, if you will, a recent event was quite telling, was it not, when Toomey skipped out on a major fundraising event in New York where Trump was supposed to be the headliner?
Yeah, Trump headlined the Republican Party of Pennsylvania's major fundraiser in New York during the PA Society weekend, and what the event does, it raises a lot of money for the party itself. With a lot of that goes towards Toomey. He's their flagship candidate for this year, just as Tom Corbett was a couple of years ago. And Toomey skipped out. Toomey had a prior engagement. I'm not sure I buy that too much. Toomey wanted to be Toomey didn't want any part of Trump, and neither did a lot of people in the congressional delegation, such as Charlie Dent and Pat Meehan. They didn't want to be seen near Trump, just because this only happened days after Trump called for the ban of Muslims entering the United States. So it was a really tenuous time, and the PA GOP stuck by it and then kept Trump as the guest speaker.
Al, thanks. Washington Examiner, political reporter Al Weaver. It is now 21 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Welcome back to our show and a very happy New Year's Eve. And it's going to be a big New Year's Eve for college football. As Donald Trump would say, it is going to be huge. The national playoff semifinals take place at two venues. At 4 p.m., it's undefeated Clemson against 11-1 Oklahoma in the Orange Bowl. And then at 8 tonight in Arlington, Texas, it's Alabama and Michigan State, a couple of 12-1 teams in the Cotton Bowl. And Jennifer Koshenka is here now to talk about a new expense for college football programs that is making them look good.
There's new ammunition in the arms race in college football. Flashy graphics. Programs large and small are spending millions to attract recruits and donors with colorful displays in their facilities. Rachel Axon of USA Today, who spent some time investigating this new trend, is here with more. Rachel, first of all, who's doing this?
Well, the short answer is not almost everybody, but many people. It's not just the top-tier programs. You know, our story includes everywhere from Auburn, you know, a premier SEC football school, to, Western Michigan spending quite a bit of money on this to promote their new football coach. So, you're seeing it more at the top in the Power Five conferences, but definitely not exclusively.
What kind of graphics are we talking about here? What do they look like?
Yeah, so this is a hard thing to get that we want to make clear. This isn't, you know, like banners that you see hanging in the rafters of an arena or a basketball gym or something like that. These are highly designed, kind of often life-size, covering whole walls, displays where, they're highlighting former players, a coaching philosophy, success of the program. It's less a poster on a wall than a graphic on the entire wall.
I would imagine that there is some pushback at schools for spending this kind of money on pictures.
I would imagine, and I think that was kind of the initial question that we started from, because we've come across some records that these were being put in an indoor practice facility. You know, in a lot of ways, you can measure or try to measure the results of things. If you redo a weight room, you know, something that's traditionally viewed as can be gold plating, you know, there's a tangible or should be a tangible outcome that you can measure. Your athletes get stronger. If you hire, a top coach, he will be judged by a win-loss record. This one, it's more gray in terms of, okay, we're spending this money, but what are we getting? And the thing that they kept coming back to was, you know, recruiting.
Rachel Axon of USA Today, along with Jennifer Kashenka. Bruce Johnson filling in today for Gordon, who is off for New Year's Eve. It is now 11 minutes in front of the hour. Now here's Jennifer Kashenka once again with more of America's First News.
Bruce, fears of terrorism and stepped-up security provide a sobering backdrop to planned New Year's Eve celebrations around the world. In the U.S., federal and local officials are tightening security in high-profile locations, including New York's Times Square and the Rose Bowl festivities in Los Angeles. In Belgium and Turkey, police say they disrupted terrorist plots that would have targeted celebrations to ring in New Year's with the capitals of those countries. Major flooding along the Mississippi River and at tributaries in the St. Louis area and in southern Illinois have killed at least 21 people, forcing evacuations and closing of roadways, harbors, and bridges. Some of the highest flooding ever recorded in the area shut down commercial traffic in sections of the nation's largest inland water system, which is dominated by the Mississippi River, but includes other major rivers such as the Ohio, the Missouri, and the Illinois. Mayor Rahm Emanuel says Chicago police must be better trained to distinguish between when they can use a gun and when they should use a gun. After a series of shootings by officers sparked protests and complaints that police are too quick to fire their weapons, Emanuel says every officer will be trained to use stun guns.
We'll double the number of tasers to 1,400 while also providing officers the training to use them properly.
Also, any officer involved in a shooting will be put on desk duty for 30 days, up from the current 3 days. California is finally getting some rain and snow, but the damage from years of drought has taken a major toll on the state's iconic forests. Scientists have found that 888 million trees in California have experienced measurable water loss since the drought began, and more than 29 million have already died. 58 million more are on the brink. And if more travel is one of your New Year's resolutions, Travel and Leisure may be able to help you pick your next trip. The publication is out with a list of emerging and somewhat quirky picks for 2016, topped by Bocas del Toro, Panama, due to its crystal blue waters, coral reefs, and top-notch seafood restaurants. Other top destinations include Guadalajara, Mexico, Richmond, Virginia, Frankfurt, and Asbury Park, New Jersey.
So says Bruce Springsteen.
Yes, Stone Pony. Go see it.
But Asbury Park has become a very niche shopping and eating venue.
Oh, it's fun.
Yeah.
I go there often.
So if you come to the Jersey Shore, check out Bruce's Asbury Park. It is now 9 minutes in front of the hour on this morning, America's First News. Welcome back to the show and good morning. You know, we are bombarded with commercials telling us what to buy, but who's there to tell us what not to buy in the new year? Well, she's Katie Hill of MarketWatch to the rescue, who has a list of no-nos. Katie, what's the reason for your list?
Don't waste your money is the sort of tying together factor here.
All right. Now, we begin with an item, and I've never seen a commercial item rise so quickly and then fall so quickly with negative publicity, and that would be the hoverboard, which has set people on fire. People fall off all over the place. You say don't buy a hoverboard in 2016.
No, wait for it. And I probably don't even have to tell people why. They're all the reasons you just mentioned. These things have caught on fire. Some people have, you know, fallen off of them. There's already all these YouTube videos of, you know, dads falling off hoverboards. They're just not quite, all the kinks aren't quite worked out of these things. And they're cool, but they're also quite risky.
All right, Katie's 10 things not to buy in the new year. Apple Watch, you say don't buy that product.
You know what? They're still quite expensive, right? $350, some of them are $550, the gold ones $10K and up. They're still really expensive, and it's still not something that most people need, right? You can still do most of the stuff on your smartphone. And so for the price, wait till the price comes down. Because by the way, Apple does, you know, once you get in later and later and later generations of these things, the prices do tend to drop for the older version. So it's just worth waiting. It's still quite expensive for what you get. Yeah, you know what? These things also are pretty darn expensive. So there's one, the Samsung Gear VR. The headset is just $99, but here's the thing, and this is how they get at you with it. You also have to have a very new Galaxy smartphone. So that's going to cost hundreds and hundreds of dollars more. The same thing with the Oculus Rift. You've got to have a certain kind of laptop for that, so you could end up spending $1,000 for that. So even though sometimes the headsets themselves aren't that expensive, all the gear that you need to operate them is expensive. And again, this is a newer product, and so we're probably going to to see price drops come in 2017, so that's probably worth waiting on.
We are talking to Katie Hill of MarketWatch about her 10 things not to buy in 2016. And Katie, selfie sticks, annoying to many people, you say don't buy one.
Yes. I mean, you don't need to take a selfie that bad, part A. Just get, you know, get another person to do it. But yeah, I mean, these things, first of all, some people have died using them, which is very rare, but that has happened. And a lot of tourist destinations, which is often where people are going to want to take a selfie, no longer allow these. Disney World doesn't allow them. Coachella doesn't allow them. The Sistine Chapel, a bunch of museums. So they're getting banned everywhere. And, you know, I think a lot of people see someone holding a selfie stick and don't exactly have the best opinion of you. So, you know, maybe just avoid those.
All right, here's one which I guess some people will hear and think, what? And you're saying don't buy bourbon in the new year.
Right. I mean, there's some kinds that are all right. There's just a lot of bourbon that's kind of, there's been a lot of gimmicky and oddball versions. A lot of celebrities stick their names on it. And, you know, the real drinkers, the pros often say that if you want, you know, more depth of character, there's like a rye, there's other kinds of whiskey that are actually much better. So, you know, if you really like it, it's all right. But for the most part, you don't really need to buy this thing. And there are other alternatives that can be better.
Katie, thanks a lot. Katie Hill of MarketWatch with what not to buy in the new year. Well, that'll do it for this hour. Again, a very safe New Year's Eve to all of you and a very happy 2016. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Bruce Johnson filling in for Gordon Deal, who will be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
We'd love to welcome a new sponsor to the show, All and Sundry, a modern men's shoe company with an old-world vision. My friend Nick and his team make the finest handcrafted custom shoes, shoes your grandfather would be proud of. All and Sundry creates a unique experience where you select your style of shoe, whether for work or play. Then you choose the material, add custom features like eye stays, then select a color. They source all the materials and build each one by hand. Without a middleman, you get the savings. No more outrageous markups. If you're a shoe guy, All and Sundry is for you. If you're not, you might change your mind after seeing All and Sundry. Right now, get a 10% discount on a gift card for the holidays. Visit allandsundry.com and enter the promo code DEAL at checkout. That's A-W-L and sundry.com. Then enter DEAL at checkout. All and Sundry, stylish and modern shoes with craftsmanship a grandfather would be proud of. Again, allandsundry.com and enter code DEAL.